with South Dakota State University down in Sioux Falls Regional Office. Right now, Anthony, you're at the annual Precision Ag Conference down in Huron. Good morning.
Yes, I am, Chuck. Yeah, there's a good crowd here, and, you know, as everybody knows, it's a really nice day.
Well, I know you moved it to Huron away from Aberdeen this year. Did it seem to work pretty good? You still got some of the same followers?
Well, you know, I think the crowd attendance is very good. It's the room was full, and I don't have a lot of involvement in organizing that, but it seemed to me everybody was happy and pleased with the new arrangement. So we'll see what they do in the future.
Well, I know you opened up the conference, and I had a couple texts from some farmers down there that said you really did a nice job on it. It's very interesting. You were talking on managing nutrients with low prices, and I guess you could have hit it right on the head. That's kind of where we're at.
Yeah, you know, that's exactly where we're at. We've been over that hump of high commodity prices and even high nutrient prices during that time, and I think those times were good to build up soil tests and manage things differently. And now we got to really sharpen our pencil. And there's some things we can do. And as a soil fertility guy, you know, I think about the most limiting factor, and we focus on those and go with that. And if we take a soil sample and the recommendation is zero, that's what we go with. And we focus on those nutrients that are more important. And to me, that's sharpening the pencil and using that data to our best advantage.
Now, on most of these soil tests, do they give you a look at your history and then give you a little bump on that just to give you that one outlier? Or?
Well, you know, in a lot of the models and university recommendations, you know, they take a look at the probability of a response. And we've got to have some good probabilities to get a response to an application before it gets made into a recommendation. A recommendation is just that. It's not an absolute number. It's the best that knowledge that we have based on science, and I think that's what's important is it's based on science and a number of locations and sites across many years. So it's good experience, if you will.
Well, I know you're talking about the high commodity prices. It seems like fertilizers kind of follow them up. Now that they're down, I know they're coming down a little bit. Is this a time that maybe it's cheap enough, maybe if you're a little low on some of the phosphorus or potash, you can kind of add to it? Or aren't we seeing them prices coming down as much as the nitrogen?
Yeah, you know, the that's one thing nice is those nutrient prices have followed that down, the commodity prices down, and which is good. I think of it kind of the other way. When commodity prices were high, we had extra funds to build soil tests and get things up there where they should be. And maybe if you've got money to invest and build soil tests now with low fertilizer prices, that's an advantage too. So it kind of depends on which side of this thing you're looking at it. But again, it's about the most limiting factor and if it's phosphorus or if it's potassium or whatever it is, that's what we go after first. That's where the biggest return for dollar investment is on those most limiting factors.
Well, sometimes, Anthony, we get to these tight lines and all of a sudden somebody comes out with a product that really is going to blow everybody out of the water with the yields. Are we seeing some of those products again coming out that they're trying to move that might not necessarily be a real good product?
Yeah, you know, there's always new things being developed, and that seemed to be the case during those high commodity prices because the investment in those could be made, and there was funds there to try those things, and so that kind of drives that market. I would just go back and stand on the fact that you need good unbiased research, replicated trials. At a number of locations to determine what the probability of a response is to a certain type of thing that you put on your soil. And again, another thing to think about is if the product has a qualifier with it. It works best in this situation or in this soil condition. When we have things that work everywhere all of the time, that's kind of a should throw up a red flag, and we should think about those really hard and look for that good data to really support you know, what's being said.
I know we look at nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium pretty hard. What about some of the other micronutrients or the nutrients that we may be starting to see some effects of?
Yeah, you know, I had a grower pull me aside this morning with a soil test report, and he was interested in a number of things, but one of those was boron. And that's one of those micronutrients along with copper, zinc, and manganese. And he was interested in boron. And, you know, I explained a few things. You know, I haven't personally seen a crop that's been boron deficient, you know, showed a symptom. We like to really start with those cases first where we know it's the certain nutrient at hand causing the problem, and we put that nutrient on and the plant gets healthy or it greens up or whatever, responds positively. Then we can build on that for recommendations, and we can know the sufficiency level in the soil and work on that. So we just recently finished evaluating some micronutrients on corn and soybeans. I've been working with David Karki there at the Regional Center in Watertown. And you know, we can't confidently say that any one of the nutrients we tried, which was boron, manganese, and copper, really had a significant yield effect on corn and soybeans. And so we're still looking for that special case where one of those nutrients will be deficient, and we can apply that nutrient and correct that deficiency. So we just haven't seen those. And until we do, we'll just keep saying it's not really a big concern. So, but we have to keep our eyes open, that's for sure.
I know we have a lot of, they used to talk more about ratios, this compared to this and what we need in the soil. Are they looking at that at all anymore?
You know, I'm personally not doing any research on that. I've kind of let, there's been some work in Wisconsin and Minnesota, and the balancing the cation ratios in the soil just is not a scientifically proven method to manage nutrients. And I'm well aware of some of those recommendations where, you know, if K is limiting, you know, they just recommend hundreds of pounds of K to be applied. And with these tight budgets like this, I just can't see that happening. And I go back to our sufficiency levels on potassium. You know, it's not a perfect soil test, but it gives us a good indication of where we're at. And if we need to put some on because we're below the sufficiency level, we do that. And I guess that relates to my comment about sharpening your pencil. That's what we need to do now.
And if you've been adding to phosphorus and stuff in there, maybe they want to go, and a lot of them are using these, in the furrow, fertilizing and at that. Maybe they can cut some of those rates a little bit for a year.
Yeah, you know, I gave an example at the conference here, a graph where soil test phosphorus was at 5, 8, 13, and 25 and showed the effect of application rate of phosphorus on yield. And you know, at 8 and 13 and above, you know, there's hardly any influence from that application rate. And so, yeah, like you said, we can coast and not apply any, or if we're concerned, we can always put a lower rate in a band near the seed furrow, and that'll help early growth and so forth. So, yeah, there are ways to get around some of these things. And, you know, I guess I also mentioned that, you know, I promoted the fact that we would draw down some of our soil tests. And if we're very high in phosphorus, we can do that for a while. And that's why we soil test. That's why we monitor the level and not let it drop below that sufficiency level where we want it to be. And so that's just all about sharpening that pencil again. So.
Well, Anthony, I appreciate you taking time out. I know you got a good meeting down there going. And it sounds like a pretty good crowd. We appreciate you joining us and updating us on this stuff, as everybody's going to push a pencil this year, including the bankers. So it's nice to have it done and figured out before you
go. That's exactly right. Plan ahead. That's a good way to do it.
All right, Anthony, thanks a lot, and you have a good day.
You too, Chuck. Thanks for the call.
All right.